Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week once again.
Yeah.
From the matchmaking division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah. Remember about a month and a half ago, we got a call from a woman. Where was she from? Like Seattle, Spokane, one of those places?
Yeah,
out there?
Somewhere north of San Diego. Anyway, right. She wanted to advertise a car for sale in the classified section of her newspaper in order to meet guys.
I remember her.
And she wanted to know what kind of a car would attract the kind of guy that she was looking for.
And we told her the kind of list was a 1959 Land Rover. I remember her. And we heard from her, actually, recently, and she actually met a guy.
Well, unfortunately, he's from, like, Tennessee or something like that.
Yeah, but here's a happier ending. Get this. I have this letter. I'm telling you, this is going to warm the cockles of your heart. You think we're just here fooling around, and yet, having been a steady listener lo these many years, I've often heard the two of you speak of the legendary Donna, the distant, unobtainable beauty with the racy convertible and even racier good looks.
Indeed.
Well, the fall of my senior year in high school, I had a strong crush on Donna, a girl in my class. Ooh, getting good, huh?
It is.
One night after a party, I offered her a ride home in my forest green 1964 Mustang with the black vinyl roof and 287 V8 engine.
See, it is that one of those Stephen King books?
Automotive related. We parked in front of her house and soon began to share the sweetest, most passionate kisses my young lips had ever experienced. Is this a family show? Not anymore, it ain't. We only had one or two dates after that, and as high school ended, we went our separate ways. But often over the years, my mind would drift back to that October night and the sweetness of those kisses,
Donna,
the memory of which never fully left me.
Donna,
now get this. Flash forward now. To October 1990 and my 20th class reunion. I had been living and working in Texas since I finished high school in New York and had lost touch with all my old classmates. Everything was going as nicely as can be expected for the first half hour or so. And then it happened. From across the room, I saw Donna, and the years fell away. It was as if she had only grown more beautiful through time. We talked for hours. As the night ended, and I asked if I could kiss her once more for old time's sake, the magic returned.
Whoa!
Are you ready for this now? This is not the end. The point of all this is enclosed. It is with great pleasure that we announce the marriage of Donna Coffin and Mark Oristano, thus ending 20 years of window shopping and test driving of other models.
Isn't that special?
Isn't that special?
That
we need some music for this. Do we have? Wow, Z.
Boy.
You talk about heart-rending.
I guess that would be a hard act to follow, so I guess you have no more letters.
I have nothing else after that. My God,
which case,
that is impressive.
We'll take a call. It's going to be hard. I'm all choked up here.
Otherwise, it's going to be someone named Donna. Maybe it's Donna.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is not Donna.
Not Donna.
This is Pat from Austin, Texas.
Was that a story, Pat?
That's a wonderful story.
Isn't it wonderful? My God. Whew. I think that's beautiful. Austin, Texas. Okay, I'm trying to come down from cloud nine here. Romantic things like that just make me crazy. You know, I'm such a romanticist.
All right,
Pat.
Yes.
What's your stupid little insignificant question about some car? How are you?
I have a problem with the anti-sway bar on my car.
What is your car?
It's a 1985 yellow Cadillac Eldorado.
So why do you have a problem with the anti-sway bar?
Well,
and how do you know that?
The frame where the anti-sway bar attaches broke off under the passenger side.
The frame rusted away?
No, it looks like it broke, but I can't really tell.
Broke? You don't have rust in Texas.
No, we don't.
So somebody told you this.
My son took the car in to have the oil changed, and the man who was changing the oil noticed it. I have no idea when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that it's happened 3 years ago.
Okay, it's possible.
Or at some point. I don't know. I don't remember.
But you don't feel any difference in the way the car handles, no, rides? You don't hear any noises?
No, absolutely nothing. And my question is, the man who was changing the oil suggested that I attempt to have it welded back.
Sure.
If that doesn't work, he said I would need to get a new one. My feeling is if it's not causing any trouble that I notice, do I really need to get a new one?
Has anyone else looked at it besides Krusty that changed the oil?
Nope. No.
Well, I mean, you do make a strong case, Pat, for forgetting about it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you wanted a general rule, you can forget anything told to you by someone changing your oil.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that would be a general rule.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know in this case if it's true, but the fact that you don't even know that it's gone, that makes no difference. The truth is, it probably would not make much of a difference to the handling of the car.
Yeah, and it's certainly not going to make a difference to the safety in general, unless there's some other defect with the frame that he didn't notice or that has caused this to happen. I mean, frames don't break for no reason. There had to be something that broke the frame.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you hit some. Have you been driving off the road in those wild wilds of Texas?
No.
I'm guessing the thing can be welded. I don't see why it shouldn't be weldable.
All right, and if it can't be welded, forget it.
Well, I wouldn't take our advice.
You change oil?
No, we do change oil.
Yeah, we do change oil.
The guy that changed the oil, truthfully, had no ulterior motive. I mean, he wasn't going to do the job anyway, so
exactly.
He was really looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect he did find something that was wrong, although he may not have known exactly what it was. If he knew more, he'd be doing more perhaps in changing oil. So he didn't know exactly what to do or maybe exactly what was wrong, but he did know at least enough to alert you.
Okay.
You need to take it to someone else, and that someone else will look at it and give you an estimate, and hopefully it'll be cheap.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Thank you very much.
So it would be nice to have it fixed, because this thing handles like the QE2 anyway.
Right.
Any gashes in the bottom? See you, Pat.
Bye. Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Hello.
Hi, I'm here.
Ah, who's this?
I'm sorry, I thought you... This is Bruce from Orlando, Florida.
You fell asleep, huh, Bruce? Dozed off a little there? What's up, Bruce?
Okay. Our son is a lawyer, and he lives with us, and several years ago, he bought a lovely 90 Lincoln Town Car.
Wow.
And it was doing fine for, well, still a great car, but after a couple of months, the paint starts sheeting off. He's convinced if he goes through a car wash, he can take it all off.
There you go.
I'm convinced that there's nothing he can do except take the paint down right to the bare metal, which is not economically feasible with a 90 Town Car.
Yeah. But this is especially a problem for a lawyer. I mean, the guy is trying to impress people. That's why he bought a town car.
Uh-huh.
And it hardly makes much of an impression unless he's trying to create the impression that he's a starving lawyer, in which case nobody would hire him because
That's
who
right.
wants a lawyer who doesn't have any clients?
That's right. He's doing fine.
Yeah, he's doing
fine.
But this
car is too good to give up on, but not good enough to get the paint job. I think he ought to just get spray paint and do it. But when he does that, then it flakes off around the
spray. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he has to go for contact paper.
What?
And they have some really interesting designs.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything you could put. Zebra.
Yeah.
You can go for the animal look.
It can go stripes in two directions.
You guys got right to the center of these issues.
Well, I mean, if he really likes the car, Bruce.
Yeah.
The truth is that he could take it down to his local Mako or Earl Scheib or one of those.
He wants to do that, but I'm convinced it'll just flake off.
No, because they won't just do a Mickey Mouse job, I don't think.
Even though you're living in Orlando.
Yeah.
They will do that. I mean, they will strip it all down. They'll prime it, and they'll put a coat of paint on it. That's maybe more than a coat. Now,
that costs money.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
it's gonna,
no,
it's
not that much. I mean,
it's going to cost, I would imagine, somewhere around $1,500.
Why?
Because all the car is worth.
Because the
$117,000 on
why
it.
Why
really
that much?
Because
that.
The stripping process is labor intensive.
Right.
It's very labor intensive.
Oh, you got to wait until they have specials. They always have specials.
Well, they never have specials on stripping the cars.
Yeah.
They always have the paint specials.
Yeah.
I mean, alternatively, I mean, for a couple of $100, you could just take a shot at having it painted.
I mean, what they'll do is they'll sort of get the flakes of paint off and they'll paint right over it for $300.
And
on
you
special.
Think it'll hold?
No, not really.
I don't, no.
No, but maybe long enough to sell it.
That's what the last guy did.
Yeah, I suspect so.
Well, you've got to continue the legacy.
If this doesn't work, he'll be in contact with Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Well, here's what he does. I mean, he gets a couple of clients for whom he has won cases and kept out of jail.
Uh-huh.
And says, hey, come down Saturday. I'm going to Sears Roebuck, and I'm going to buy a sander.
Okay.
And you guys are going to come, and you're going to sand down my car.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm sending you back to jail. I'm going to go back and tell him I lied, and you really shouldn't
be
on the
streets. So you're willing to do this, Bruce?
Well, he's a bankruptcy lawyer. I don't...
Oh, all the better. All these people are out of work, got nothing to do.
Well, that's true.
And he'll just get them, because if that's the labor-intensive part, then you take it down to Mako, and for $399, that's regular price $399, I think.
Right.
They'll paint the whole car.
Oh, they'll put the supreme paint job on
for
it.
For $25, as my brother says, they'll roll up the windows.
But you do feel if we don't take it right down to metal, it's just going to flake off.
Oh, I believe so. Yeah. You're going to have to strip it right down to bare metal. And it is something you could do yourselves. I mean, it is labor intensive.
But don't forget, every project is an opportunity to buy a new tool.
Oh, yes, as I well know.
And
yes.
So he should certainly go down to Sears, to the tool department, and buy himself a sander.
Oh, not just a sander. You need to buy the entire line of sanders.
Yeah, it's a big car.
It's a big car. You're going to burn out all those motors.
Right.
And you want four or five guys working at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Two on the front, two on the back, and one on the roof.
Sounds wonderful.
I can see it now.
See you, Bruce.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen, and I'm calling from Watertown, Ma.
Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N.
No.
I-N.
I-N, very good.
Kristen.
Oh, that kind of Kristen. You're really,
I'm one of them.
Authentic.
Watertown, Ma. Right in our backyard, right next to our fair city.
Right down the street.
In fact, it abuts our fair city.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Cool.
So what's on your mind, Kristen?
Well, I have a 1992 Nissan Sentra.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I was on my way home from work, and I go down the same hill every day. And there's a cross street at the bottom, and somebody pulled out, of course, right in front of me.
Mm.
So I had to hit the brakes, and I came to a skidding stop, and I did not hit them, which was good. But it was a really hard stop, and I had to veer off to the right to make sure I didn't hit them.
Yeah.
Now, ever since then, at low speeds, when I take a right turn at an angle up or an angle down...
I'm with you.
The car dies.
I think Get out!
No! Really, I scared it.
Jeez,
okay, I'm
going to
go out on a limb here.
Oh, go ahead. I'll get the saw.
Kristen is dreaming.
I am not dreaming.
Oh, no. Kristen, I'm with you, my sister.
You are.
Yeah.
And did this start happening immediately?
It started, the first time it happened was the next day.
The next day?
Yep.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, we had in our shop not long ago. When did we go on vacation?
2 months ago.
We had a Ford Taurus that had an interesting problem. This guy had what we call an intense misfire. And you would drive the car, and you put it in drive and take off, and as you accelerated down the street, and the harder you accelerated, the worse it was, the engine would cut out, cut in, cut out, cut in, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And whip your head back and forth. So we assumed it was a regular miss, and we did all the traditional tests, and we could find nothing. In fact, in the shop... Mm. The car ran great.
Yeah. Mechanical thing. A mechanical thing, I'll bet you.
Well, it was a mechanical electrical thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And the way we figured out what it was we put the car in reverse and we drove it with the same kind of acceleration.
That must have been exciting.
Yes, I had to strap Manny to the rear bumper and he had to give me hand signals. Left, right, left, left. No, more left. But when we drove it in reverse hard, we noticed it did not do it.
Right.
So we knew it was not the kind of electrical mist that is the result of a bad plug or a bad plug wire or something like that.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Go ahead.
Engine mount.
Very good.
But wrong.
No, exactly
right.
But Boy, a vacation is a wonderful thing.
Isn't it though? It's great.
Yeah. It renewed your brain cell. This car had a broken motor mount, and because the motor mount was broken, when the thing was accelerated in drive, the engine would move enough to pull on a wiring harness and cause an intermittent misfire because the harness, I don't remember which harness it was, but it would control the ignition system. The wires would get pulled apart, and of course, as soon as the engine would miss, what would happen?
The engine would
return back to its original position because it was no longer producing
spark
torque.
Again.
And spark, and spark, no spark, spark, no spark. So you could have done that same kind of damage in averting this accident.
Right. A very hard stop like that.
Yeah, because I was going down a hill.
It would tear loose a weak motor mount.
Okay.
Or maybe even not tear it loose, but just move things enough so that now you've yanked on a harness. What you need your mechanic to do is open the hood, and with the engine running, start yanking on all the wires. That's how we finally discovered it in this car. We started yanking on things, and we got the thing to misbehave until we finally cut away the insulation and found the broken wires.
Okay.
And I told you, I was with you from the beginning. Even though my brother thought you were a wacko, I was with you, Kristen.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I want you to remember that.
No, I was coming around. The more I thought about it, the more I was going to come around.
When the time comes to cast your ballot as to who the better brother is, I want you to remember this conversation.
Okay.
But have your mechanic yank on the wires and he'll find a bad connection.
All right.
Positive.
Okay.
See you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, now we'd love to take another call now, but we're being forced to relinquish control of the airways for a moment here.
What, does the station have some underwriting announcements to make?
No, they just hate us and they want us to shut up for 1 minute.
Okay.
Don't misuse me, use me right, and I'll give you a long service life. Change my oil, check my brakes, and keep me washed for heaven's sake. Don't leave me out all night long. Let your friends take me and use me wrong. They don't love me, they don't care, but you count on me to take you there.
And even though Marconi rolls over in his grave every time we say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as isolation, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment when you need professional help. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/cartalk to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
A Minneapolis business owner's daughter is called out publicly for racist, anti-Black tweets. Fighting to save his business and trying to make amends, he calls on a prominent Black Muslim leader for help. He's an Arab Muslim.
And I said, Brother Makram, I'm here to learn. Tell me what to do.
To hear what happens next, listen to Code Switch from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler. We'll remind you, puzzler addicts, that we post a puzzler a week all summer long on our website, cartalk.com. So if you're really bored, you've got nothing to do, or the boss is away, and you can do it furtively, go there and loiter. For the rest of you, the puzzler is on summer vacation and will be back sometime in September.
The puzzler is on vacation. Let me get this right now. But we're here.
Yeah.
So we can just go right on misinforming the American public about cars, right?
Absolutely. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Liz in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hi, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine. I have to sort of change gears here because I'm at work and I'm a nurse and this is going to be talking about cars. I'm not used to doing this while I'm at work.
You're not neglecting any patients, are you?
No, I'm not.
You don't have any wheezers, huh?
No, I work in a long-term care facility. I'm assistant director of nursing, so I do a lot of paper pushing.
Oh, so you know, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're just part of the expense for the hospital.
That's right.
That's it. Okay. You don't actually take care of anybody or save any lives.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, good.
So what's up, Liz?
Well, I have 93 Plymouth Acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this car. And it hasn't really given me any trouble. But intermittently, I get gas dripping out of the from around the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
We took it in.
The filler, you mean, of the gas?
No, underneath the car.
Yes, underneath the car.
The tank itself. Oh,
it's
really
not where you put the gas in that it's dripping.
No, it's underneath where the gas tank is and where I understand the fuel filter or fuel pump is.
Good. Okay.
And we have a new fuel pump put in and a fuel filter.
I believe the fuel pump is inside the tank on this car.
Yes, it is.
So you had this done just prior to the leak starting or
No, I had it done when we noticed this leak.
Ah, okay.
It's still doing it. Yeah, it's intermittent, though. I went for quite a while without doing it. One of the things the guy told me was to not let it get too close to empty because I'm going to be sucking up more dirt to clog up that fuel filter.
Oh.
Wait, no one, let's forget about that. When he had the tank out and when he was underneath the car, did he not see any evidence of the leak? I guess not, huh?
Well, I'll tell you.
I don't know if he saw it. We just told him what was happening,
yeah.
and they told us what it was, and they supposedly fixed it.
I think this vehicle has a funny kind of quick disconnect fitting on the gas filter. In other words, it hasn't, you know, the old days, gas filters were attached to the fuel line with a rubber hose and a worm-style clamp, like a radiator clamp that's tightened with a screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
But that was too easy. And for whatever reason, many manufacturers, or most actually, have changed over to a quick disconnect. And that is a misnomer if there ever was one, because you can never get these things apart.
Right.
It's a fitting that's designed to be squeezed or pried on, and it just pops off, so there's no clamp to tighten. It
but
makes assembly.
Cheaper than
it's,
the old
well, it's
ones.
Cheaper, and it's cheaper because it's quick to assemble. The,
uh-huh.
the assembler just takes a thing and snaps it together, and much like a seat belt snaps on. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible. That thing has a little neoprene or some Viton rubber seal that is supposed to keep the gas from leaking out. And I've seen these things be perfectly okay for days and days and days and then just leak like crazy
mm-hmm.
for no obvious reason. Maybe it's change in temperature.
That's right.
Or something, and it'll leak for a day, and then, boom, stop and leave no trace.
And when it's leaking, when I notice it,
mm-hmm.
I pull away, and I can see this little puddle, and it was just dripping, dripping, dripping.
And
when I got to where I was going,
it
wasn't
stopped.
Doing it anymore.
Here's what you need. You need a jumpsuit.
Exactly.
I haven't worn a jumpsuit since the 60s.
Well, you're going to have to wear one.
You need to go to a store that sells work clothes.
Yeah.
And you need to buy yourself a petite jumpsuit. Something maybe in a nice pink.
I wish.
They have pink ones.
And you need to, when you smell the gas, which you may smell, you need to jump out of the car. In fact, you might want to just drive to work with the jumpsuit on. You need to jump out and stick your noggin underneath there, and I bet you will see that it is coming from the fitting that connects to the fuel filter.
Well, it does seem to be that area, my husband said.
Right in front of the right rear wheel.
Yes, it is.
Once you find the leak, you've got to tell this guy exactly where it is, and he'll order that line from the dealer and replace it. It's probably $20.
You're saying you think it's this quick disconnect
yep,
thing?
Yep, that hooks to the filter.
Ah.
Good luck, Liz.
Thank you very much, guys. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck. Get back to that nursing.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Beep, thanks.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, it's Alice again. What a pain in the neck. Turn off her IV.
Crank up the oxygen. Give her a cigar to smoke. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Bob from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Wayne, where they make transmissions and they make...
Well, back in the old days, they used to make pistons.
That's right.
Yeah. What do you do?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay. We're going to talk to you anyway, Bob. We're going to give you the, benefit of the doubt until you say something wrong, and then we're going to hang up.
You need to be kind.
We're being kind.
Well, I don't have a problem, but I've got a scientific question.
Well, we are schooled in science.
Right.
And we are world experts in cosmology. I mean, you name it.
Okay. Cosmetology.
Cosmetology. I'm good at that.
Okay.
Kept me out of the army. Okay. So.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I was recently in a friend's late model vehicle. We drove into a parking garage, and I noticed darkness. And this is a vehicle that has running lights.
Daytime running lights. Yeah.
Right, daytime
DRLs,
running lights.
We call them.
And he told me that he had disabled the running lights because it decreases the gas mileage at least a mile a gallon.
Oh, so he has DDRLs.
No.
Disabled
daytime running lights.
Is there any truth to that?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay.
My son.
Oh, yes,
whether
sure.
I think his number is not correct.
Well, it depends. What's the vehicle?
Volkswagen Passat.
A Volkswagen Passat.
He thinks it takes away a mile per gallon.
I mean, it just, you know, I've driven for a long time, and I've never really noticed the difference between the my mileage during the day and my mileage at night.
Well, you see, theoretically, he is correct that, in fact, there is a decrease in miles per gallon, because if not, you would be getting the electricity for free.
Okay.
If that were the case, we wouldn't have to build nuclear power plants. We wouldn't just take all the electricity left over in cars, and we could run everything in the world.
So there's some drain.
Of course. I mean,
oh, yeah,
because
for sure.
What makes the electricity is the alternator.
Right.
And when you ask it to make electricity, it makes it, but at what cost? It means it uses up energy from the engine.
I see.
I think his number is not correct.
Well, let's say, for example, your daytime running lights might draw, say, 15 amps, which let's round off to 12 volts. Let's say that's a couple of hundred watts. And 750 watts is a horsepower. So you're looking at maybe a quarter.
A quarter of a horse. Which quarter would that be? Like the rear hind quarter?
The part near the tail.
The horse's butt.
So it's a quarter of a horsepower, and I don't think sucking off a quarter of a horsepower, is that enough to cut 5% off your mileage?
No, that's why I said his number is way too big. He would be hard-pressed, even if he was calculating his gas mileage daytime and nighttime, as you said. You've never noticed a difference. I would guess that he wouldn't be able to notice the difference either.
I think he's fallen victim to the additive syndrome.
Oh, this is a theory that you're going to come up with.
Well, here's the theory.
Go ahead.
The theory is that everyone who adds an additive to his gas tank or his oil expecting improved mileage or this or that also unconsciously alters his driving habits. So that the expectation that you're going to get 10% better mileage is fulfilled not by the product, but by the fact that you have changed the way you drive the car. So it may be that if
the additive placebo syndrome.
Exactly.
Oh, I can see the
APS.
Scientific journals now.
Yeah. No,
clamoring for us to write. Clamoring, I tell you.
But I think he's probably succumbed to that more than anything. That he wants the mileage to be improved by 5%.
Yeah,
verify his theory.
Yeah, I would say that we're dealing with tenths of a mile per gallon or even less than that.
Okay.
Cool.
Fair
and you
enough.
Don't even have to sue us, Bob.
Right.
See you, man.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye now.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Harmony from Portland, Oregon.
Harmony.
Does your demeanor fit your name?
Well, I think it does depend on who you ask. I like to say so.
Your last name is not Brown.
No.
You know the song, Hair Golden Yellow for Some Lucky Fellow Who Marries Sweet Harmony Brown.
No, that's what I haven't heard. People do like to sing to me. They like to sing Ebony and Ivory to me.
Oh, but Harmony Brown was the greatest harmony song
from when my brother was.
It was
a wee lad. You'll have to go to.
I was a wee lad. I believe. In fact, it was the Four Lads.
No,
it could well have been.
No,
I think it was the Four Lads.
All right, I'll check it out.
All right, well, we'll endeavor to find a recording as well. I think it predates though. It's a barbershop type song, isn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. Sweet no? Harmony Brown.
All right.
Well, I'm getting almost more than I expected with the musical advice. Actually,
where are you from, Harmony?
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
You probably mentioned that twice already, but...
Neither one of us was listening.
I'm writing it down this time.
We were too busy running our mouths.
Singing songs. No, that's great.
All right.
What's up, Harmony?
Well, I'm actually hoping to be absolved by you after a certain event occurred.
We can't promise anything.
Oh, man.
Well, unless you pay us.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what was happening is I had my sister's car, which is a 1990 Acura Integra Coupe, and I had my one-year-old niece in the back. And she was getting really unhappy in her car seat and just complaining a lot. And so when I got to a red light behind another car, I put my foot on the brake and I turned around to try to soothe her a little bit. And I hit the car in front of me. And my thought at the time was, my foot is on the brake. I was pressing my foot on the brake. Let me repeat that. I was pressing my foot on the brake.
Is this for our benefit or your sister's benefit?
Well, I'm wondering what was going on. Because, all right, I hit the car. They took it very, very seriously. It was compounded by the fact that this bumper that I hit had a really massive dent in it. I say, already. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But when you stopped, you were like a couple of feet away from the car?
Yeah, I'd say so. Maybe three.
And you turned around with your right foot on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
Pressing firmly on the brake.
Mm-hmm. It did not shift.
And what did you do with the little child in the back seat after giving her a couple of dope slaps?
I cooed at her. I touched her hair. She didn't quiet down at all.
Yeah.
And then I hit another car.
Well, I can guarantee you, Harmony.
They're trying to flim-flam you.
That you were wrong.
Really?
Oh, it's well, absolutely
true. I think the dent was already there.
Oh, no, the dent was already there.
Oh, I know the dent was already there.
No, we know that you hit the car.
Right.
And you're trying to blame your sister's car for failure to stay stopped with your foot firmly implanted.
Is that
on
the
it?
Nature of the question? How could the brakes fail?
Well, here's the thing. Let me tell you the rest of it. After I'm going home,
we don't want to hear the rest of it.
No, you have the witness stand now. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm driving home that day trying to figure out what the heck happened with this car. And so I went off into some back streets, and I would bring the car a little distance and then stop it and let it sit there for a moment. And what I noticed is when I had my foot firmly pressed on the pedal would all of a sudden
sink.
Start going down even farther on its own.
Well, here's what you have to do. I'm in your camp now.
No.
I am. I tell you. What's wrong with your sister's car? And you're going to have to sue her. is that her master cylinder has begun to fail.
Oh, really?
And that is a classic symptom of incipient master cylinder failure, that you'll sit there with adequate pressure on the brake pedal and your foot hasn't exerted any more pressure or any less pressure, and the pedal will begin to sink. And, of course, as it does, the pressure that ultimately gets to the wheels to keep the car from moving drops. And what happens? The car moves.
Okay.
And when it moves...
Gus!
And if it moves...
I'm liking that, though, because I'll tell you, when I was experimenting with it, I would keep my foot in the same position that would have it holding still, and then it would just start creeping along on its own.
I repeat, bull Gus. I will bet $20... that there is nothing wrong with this woman's master cylinder. Although my brother's description of the failure of the master cylinder is perfectly accurate, I will defy you to sit in a car with your foot on the brake and turn around to appease a child in the back seat without having your foot come off that pedal. And you know, part of it is you're distracted. Your foot is not, your mind is not on your foot. Your mind is on the kid.
Did I mention I was on a cell phone? Some people have had that theory, and I have dismissed them as much as I'm inclined to dismiss this, because my sister told me she's noticed this happening at other times before she had a baby.
I know the master cylinder is no good.
All right.
And I'm going to recommend that you go and have it replaced.
Okay.
And when you do, you will notice that this condition has disappeared.
Wonderful.
And then you can call us and you can be on Stump the Chumps and you can say to Tommy, nying, nying, nying. I think that's what it is.
Sure.
Yeah. And your foot probably did slip off the pedal a little bit. I think the combination of the two things is what caused this unfortunate.
Okay, as long as that's not your primary theory, I'll give you that.
Yeah, no. See you, Harmony.
All right, thank you very
much. Good luck. Bye. All right, look, it's time to head off to Camp Coffee Cup for a minute while we give our stations a chance to do some business.
You mean this is where they thank the people who sponsor the show and all that stuff, is that right?
Well, no, this is where they call them and personally apologize. We'll be right back.
Oh, I can remember one evening sublime. I took out a girl for the very first time. I bought her a soda that cost me a dime, and I shared it with Harmony Brown.
Ah, sweet Harmony Brown, sweetest Harmony Brown. Hair golden yellow for some lucky fellow who marries sweet Harmony Brown.
And even though Nepalese yaks leave a deposit on the nearest shortwave radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Don't miss the national conversation with me, Jen White, every weekday on NPR's 1A. News, views, and insight for the relentlessly curious. A space for those willing to share what they know and ready to hear the other side of the story. Subscribe to 1A now and leave a review.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, most importantly, MAS.
Yeah, David Leventhal sent us via the web MAS, male answer syndrome, and I haven't read this, I'll be perfectly honest, but the first paragraph was enough to tell me that I should read it. Uh-oh. And I'm going to read it right now for the first time. Male answer syndrome, why men always have opinions even on subjects they know nothing about. In the animal kingdom, and I thought it was especially apropos for us. In the animal kingdom, males exhibit what is known as display behavior in order to attract females and to ward off rival males. They thrust out their chests, ruffle their plumage, and generally try to appear more impressive than they really are.
They grunt.
And they grunt. On nature shows, this is comic. It appears comic, too, when it shows up among humans. The guy in the Camaro with all the gold chains, or Vanilla Ice's haircut. It has been discovered that display behavior is much more common among humans than had been previously believed. For example, have you ever wondered why? Men who have never been west of Kentucky can tell you about the mentality of the Japanese. Men who can't pay their own credit card bills have a plan for dealing with the national debt. Men who aren't on speaking terms with their own families know how to achieve peace in the Middle East. I mean, this is all true. So far, it's all true.
Well,
right?
I do happen to have the answers to all of those questions.
And the last one was, men who haven't had a date in 6 months know what women really want.
Yeah, well, they know it isn't them.
All right. The compulsion to answer varies from person to person, but few men are happy saying, I don't know. Some men seem to regard life as a talk show in which they are the star guest. If you ask, what's the capital of Peru? They hear, so tell us a bit about your early years, Bob. Sometimes this expansiveness is appealing. If you ask a woman, why did Madonna go on the David Letterman show? She will simply shrug helplessly, acknowledging that some things are simply unknowable. A man, on the other hand, will come up with a few theories. She has the same agent and an overdose of Prozac. Men have the courage and inventiveness to try to explain the inexplicable. Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, this reminds me of the electric trailer brake question that we had some time ago. But if faced with women in our circle that don't have an answer to something, if no one else has an answer, you have to volunteer one, right? You always do.
Yeah, I mean, how interesting
would it be? If your son or your daughter asks a question and your wife says nothing, like, yeah. Or she says, I don't know.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Say I don't know either and let the kids think they got a couple of morons for parents? I can give them an answer and then let them think they got a couple of morons for parents.
And then they'll know they got at least one moron for parents.
It is a curious
male
syndrome.
Male answer syndrome. Well,
everyone knows it's true. Here's why I think it's true.
Explain it to us.
Well, my theory is this.
And while you're at it, explain to me how there can be peace in the Middle East.
This must be from Barry, Dave Barry. No?
Who knows? Who knows? By the way, if you tuned in expecting a brilliant new puzzler, then you obviously tuned into the wrong show. Actually, the puzzler is on break.
Mm.
Summer
break.
Summer, fall break. But you can always try your hand at one of our classic puzzlers, which we'll post every
classic
week.
Classic, old.
Meaning old, yeah. Used. Which we'll post every week on our website, cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Pete from Chico, California.
Pete!
Chico!
Hey.
Is there a hop in California?
Actually, his name was not Chico.
No, it was not.
It's Paul. Pete from Chico.
No, his name was Chico.
Oh, that's right.
It was Groucho, Harpo, and Chico. Did you know that, Pete?
I am not familiar with that, but I take you guys as the gospel truth on that.
Well, we don't really know either. But he was given the name Chico because he was always after the chicks.
Oh, that's right.
Or babes. Chicks is not a politically correct word.
Babes is good. Babes is fine. Yeah.
Babes.
So what's on your mind today, Pete?
Well, it's an interesting Volkswagen question. I have a 1979 Volkswagen van. And about 2 months ago, an acute clunking sound developed in the left front area.
Acute clunking.
Not acute.
An acute. It just
left front
suddenly
area.
Started going thunk, and it would happen when I would go over certain types of bumps that, according to the mechanic that looked at it, when the suspension goes full travel. And also, I could sometimes feel it when I braked, and I could actually feel the sound and hear it coming kind of through the braking pedal, and I was very worried.
Yeah.
Brought it to the mechanic, who in the past had done a great job for me, and he said, ball joints. So $500
that's exactly
later.
That's what it sounded like to me.
That's my answer, too. I had already written it down.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Ball joints. Absolutely.
$500 later, the sound is still there.
Well,
yes.
That is not to say that you didn't need ball joints.
That's what he keeps telling me.
Yeah.
So I won't ask for the $500 back.
I mean,
right, of course.
Yeah, you can't get the $500 back. The ball joints is a pretty straightforward test, and it's very, very clear that if you need ball joints, it's obvious that you need them. So if he really checked it and did ball joints without just guessing ball joints like we did, without having seen the thing, then you probably did need the ball joints.
Yeah, I'll be crossing ball joints off the list now.
Now the next thing.
Yes.
What other theory? What backup theory?
I got the backup theory.
Well, let's hear what Pete's mechanic came up with.
Upper control arm bushings.
Well, afterwards, he said he looked at everything in the front end, and he writes this down on his thing. He said, we disconnected the shocks and the tie rods, and the sound still happened. We removed both control arms. We checked the brake hardware. None of these were responsible for the sound. We cannot diagnose this sound, and we'll charge $52 an hour to diagnose.
Let's see.
This has a torsion bar-type suspension in it.
Yes.
Well,
and it could be...
The torsion bar is gone. Gonzo. You could be bottoming out. Boom!
Bottoming out or bottoming up. In other words, if you were to lift the bumper and lift the car off the ground by having the wheel, for example, go into a chuck hole.
Yeah.
Then you would get the same kind of noise.
Mm.
So when the suspension is full out or full in, you're getting the noise. Right. And it could be that one of the torsion bars is broken. Gee, it's been so long since I've had one of these apart.
I like the torsion bar theory.
I think it's a bunch of plates.
The torsion bar is, think of it as a spring.
All right.
But if the spring didn't work right, then when you hit a bump, everything in the body would fall down, boom, and everything would be whacking against everything else, and you'd get a big clunk.
Yeah.
So not having a spring would obviously cause big clunks.
Right.
And since the torsion bar is what's used instead of a spring, that's my theory.
Well, my vague recollection also is that there is a bearing where the control arm enters the frame. The torsion bar is inside a tubular frame.
Yeah.
And where the control arm enters, there's a bearing there.
All right.
And that could be worn out, too. And of course, it's going to make the noise under the extremest of loads, under the most extreme load, so that when you hit a big bump and you're really forcing the thing to move quickly, you could get this bang. And it doesn't surprise me that it's getting telegraphed through the brake system, because any abrupt movement, any shock wave that travels will travel right up through the brake fluid to your pedal.
And that's why I said I wouldn't be concerned about the fact that you're feeling it through the brake pedal. I mean, I'm concerned about the noise, but it's obvious. It's almost positively not related to the brakes.
Yeah.
You need to go. Here's what you need to do.
You need
to drive out to the desert and find some grizzled old hermit that has a sign that says VW repairs.
I gotcha.
Done while you wait.
I gotcha.
While you wither.
Okay.
And you'll find some old codger with like 4 or 5 teeth.
Right. And he'll have a bunch of broken down vans. Parked around his so-called house.
And old hippies.
His gas station, right.
Exactly.
Yes, I got you.
With the blind dog. You know this. Right. I've painted the whole picture.
And he'll know in 3 minutes what's wrong with it.
All right.
And he'll slap a whole new front end in there. He'll use your control arms with the new $500 ball joints and send you happily, noiselessly along your way.
Yeah, right, I think so, too.
Thank you, guys. You guys are wonderful, and I really appreciate
your
show.
See you, Pete. Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gina from Dublin, Ohio.
Hi, Gina.
Gina.
And you're from Dublin, Ireland, right?
Dublin, Ohio.
Close.
Close enough. What's happening?
Well, I have a two-part question.
Two parts. Part one.
Okay, part one is a husband who's going through a midlife crisis.
And wants to buy a sports car.
Did. Already did.
Let me guess what he bought.
Okay.
Just give me one piece of information.
Okay.
Is he an engineer?
He is not.
Does he currently or has he ever worn plaid pants?
Never.
Never. Okay. Then I would say he bought a Corvette.
No.
I guess the Z3.
Z3M.
Huh? Oh, you hit it right on the money.
Bingo.
But what color is it?
Black.
Right.
They're all black.
Of course.
There you go.
The question is, he's being a little bit obsessive compulsive about the way he babies this car. And I can give you a whole list of examples. And I guess my question is going to be, am I being a nag or am I the bad person because I say,
yep,
you should. See, I should have known that you would agree with him.
We're pretty fair. I mean, but the answer is yes, you are being a nag. Just back off.
Whose damn car is it? Is it yours or his?
And just deal with it.
He does let me drive occasionally.
Give us, tell us what he does.
Well, and the second part of the question is a dent removal question, but we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so he says, you know, he had to have this car. He's going to be 70 years old in 20 years, and he says he's got to enjoy life.
Whoa, 70 years old in 20 years. Okay.
So he buys this beautiful car, and he's got all these restrictions. We're driving along, and there's grass clippings in the road where someone has just mowed their lawn, and he swerves to avoid the grass in the road.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I thought that was a little bit strange. Okay, now we're driving along on the freeway. It's 65 miles an hour, and he has very long arms. And he's driving, and he reaches, of course, the top is down, and he reaches up above over the windshield to wipe off what I think was bird poop. I'm not really sure. He's wiping off the dirt from the windshield while he's driving.
And did he borrow your handkerchief to do it?
You know, might have been just a little spit on the finger. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Let's see. The next thing
you've given us enough.
I've given you enough.
Yeah, assuming that you haven't made these up.
No,
he's
no,
a
absolutely
nut.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, he's gone
he's
off the
gone
deep end.
Overboard, and you are a nag. Only because there's not a thing you can do about it. You can tell him he's crazy.
That's true.
What good is that going to do?
Yeah, no, he's
sure.
Obviously flipped out over this car.
He is.
Yeah.
And you know what? He needs
therapy
to hit a guardrail and, you know, scrape like one whole side, and then he'll get over this.
Which leads into the dent question.
Oh, who did the dent?
We're not really sure. There's
the dent fairy.
But it's an odd dent. It's a dent instead of a dent from the top of the hood in. It's a dent from the inside of the hood up.
I know who did that.
He did it.
Who?
Your husband.
What did he do?
Well, there he was, as he was wont to do on a Saturday morning.
Tinkering.
In the driveway, tinkering.
Uh-huh.
And he's down there, and he's got the hood up, and he's got a couple of screwdrivers and an open-end wrench.
And he's trying to recognize something under the hood.
He's making believe that he's tightening things.
Uh-huh.
And he finishes up and leaves one of the screwdrivers on top of something.
Top of the engine and closes the hood.
And bingo, and he says to himself two words, the first of which is, oh.
Right.
He never swears, though.
He did that day.
I can guarantee it. And then he right away opens the hood and gets the screwdriver, and he's never going to admit this.
Of course not. But what he's now doing is trying to figure out how to remove this dent. So one night I was looking for my wooden rolling pin.
And he had
couldn't find it. He had it in the garage trying to roll over the dent, which I thought you would get a kick out of. He's also spent countless hours on the internet trying to research dent removal. He's gone to the library. He has videotape.
Gina?
Yes?
You're a saint.
I know.
The man is...
Yeah.
She's certifiable.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
gone. He's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's flipped out.
But the good news is, I mean, after all this, in spite of his love affair with the car, he still loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be another woman.
Right.
And then you'd have to kill him. So I don't think there's anything you're going to do to change him.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a hobby? Something that...
I have a hobby?
Something that, you know, you're obsessed with like he is about this car?
Well, he would say shopping, but...
Yeah.
Why don't you take up, like, paintball and get some of the neighboring wives to play and running around the garage.
Right, you can shoot.
Try not to hit the Z3 too many times.
Right, you can shoot his car.
There's
well,
no hope.
Good luck, but there is no hope.
All right.
Although I will give you permission every once in a while to give him a dope slap.
Especially when he reaches over to scrape bird poop off the
windshield.
Next time
he does that, you have my approval to just lean over and give him one of boom.
Okay.
See you, Gina.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Reykjavik, Bisquick, Extra Thick Fish Stick Marshmallow Chick and Salt Lick Picnic is Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholi. Our staff acupuncturist is O. Howard Hertz. And our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our student consultant is Norm DePlume. Our dermatologist for teenagers is Don Pickett. Our emergency room physician is Henrietta Badclam. The Car Talk musical director is Donna E. Mobile. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our coordinator of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Trustafarians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.